tight, for my monster from his lab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east.
So sometimes, you know, I tend to, you know, record and drive. And you can tell, I'm sure the quality is a little different, but this, sometimes I just park in a parking garage or a parking lot or something. And when I'm there and I'm killing time or I'm waiting or something, cause I'm decidedly like on time or early, primarily early, to a lot of my pickups, and the donation centers aren't ready, so I just kind of sit out in the parking lot or whatnot, and then just become, then I become like an observer. So what I've gathered, what I've noticed is sometimes you just kind of can make up stories around the people that you observe. Like, you see, sometimes you see like retirees, like old guys, old white guys, you know, that are, they just kind of like don't know what's going, you know, like they've killed it in their careers to the point where like they could retire, where they're still pretty cognizant and lively and energetic. So if they don't take up golf or scrapbooking or something, then they tend to show up in the same parking lots, and they sit there in their $80,000 F-150 or F-250, you know, or some oversized Dodge pickup or something that they'll never use. They'll never, like, what are you towing, bro? Like a fucking nuclear missile, you know, but you're like 85 years old, you know. So they show up and you look, you can tell, you know, they're like, ah, this guy's just looking for something to do. He's just looking somewhere to be out in the world, out, just getting out in, just in society, getting out and being amongst other people, other life forms, energy. And then the other guys are the ones, like, I just saw this guy get out of his, he has a Toyota Tacoma TRD. He's got a TRD, bro. And lock and rear differential, bro. And he's got you could tell it was a job interview. And because he's got a burgundy button up with a tie. And then he's got some black slacks and some shoes that don't kind of go. They kind of go, but they don't go. But, and then he went into like a building that looks like nobody starts there at 2:38. So he was probably going in early for a 3 o'clock interview. And because lo and behold, he comes out 20 minutes later with the same paperwork that he had in his hands, probably his resume, his CV, his curriculum vitae, and with a rather forlorn look. Maybe it went well, maybe it didn't, I don't know. And then, and now I'm just sitting here just listening to him run his engine, and maybe he's calling his wife or something, I don't know. Telling her how it went. But that being said, okay, I've got me an interview. I was working in the lab late one night. He did the mash. He did the monster mash. He did the mash. What a weird song, too, by the way. Like, that was a big deal. I think that song was a song about like Dracula and Frankenstein, like, hit the charts. It charted. So what you gonna do? I just felt it was appropriate because I have an interview coming up to work in the lab And which I am repeatedly running through my head to the point of familiarity. And what do you mean by that, Johnny? Well, I'll tell you. Just calm down. Don't come at me like that. But what I tend to do in situations like that is I'll simulate it in my head. I'll simulate the lead up to it, the meeting of the management staff, potential questions. I run it all. I do a simulation in my head. And then I do another one. And then I do another one. And then I picture it again. And then I forget about it. But I get to the point where I've broken it down to familiarity, where it, like, it becomes second nature, right? Because we do rely a lot on... maybe not so much adrenaline, but like the jitters and the butterflies you can use and you should use. Because that's, I don't know, it seems to me like as much as you don't want them, because it always kind of preempts some kind of personal challenge, say like speaking in front of class, speaking in front of a lot of people, speaking in public, or just doing things out of the ordinary, doing things kind of that you aren't comfortable with. Like people, you know, we... as a society or as a species, you know, we're constantly seeking like some kind of stimulation. Am I right? I mean, you'd have to concur with me on that. So, because we have gotten into this routine, I think, or maybe it's a cycle where we get on at a job, we are starting the job, we're nervous about the new job, we get our hooks into the job, we get a routine with the job, we start to then kind of make it a routine job so that you are overly familiar with it, so that it not that it's second nature, but that you become proficient at it, right? Until the point it'll become second nature. And then when it becomes second nature, it becomes routine. Then it kind of becomes on the verge of maybe boring, right? So then when you know what to expect, or when it does get to be a bit of a boring job or a routine job, or just a routine that is overly routine, and then you're unstimulated. So what do? You get your phone out, you're always looking at your phone, you're looking at videos, you're looking for YouTubes, you're looking for Instagram, whatever. But the real, you know, where the rubber meets the road, kind of the optimum setting is kind of like right before your job becomes routine, where you have an integral excitement for it. And so that's kind of what I'm doing with kind of running the whole process through in my head. So I've got an interview coming up, and I kind of know about what I'm going to say, and I do pretty well in interviews. I've always done fairly well in interviews. I think somehow because I find a way to become present. So instead of being distracted, the idea is to become really engaged, as if you know the person, as if you almost kind of live next door to the person interviewing you, and you can kind of talk to them. Almost like you're simpatico, you know, like you're already buddies, you're already friends. So you talk to them with a familiarity. And that's, in essence, I think, I don't know, I have no business being in this lab job. I'm not that guy, but this could be the next phase, right? As I tend to reinvent myself every 8 to 10 years, right? And, you know, the first decade was building, installing cabinets, doing kitchens, installing cabinets, entertainment centers, residential, commercial, and that whole kit and caboodle. And then graduating into car sales, did that for 9 years, which is a whole other, that's a whole other muscle you work. And then eventually worked into this kind of driving courier / medical courier type position. So not that I really consider it to be part of the healthcare industry, although it does feed, it feeds a funnel, a channel into the medical industry. You know, all I do is round up blood. I tender packages at the airport, which typically contain donated organs, eyeballs, brains, bone marrow, whatever. I deal with labs, dialysis labs. Not so much in the last several months, but historically speaking. But I've been doing this for going on now, it'll be 5+, almost 6 years. And I'm not going to phase it out. I'm going to do it in conjunction with this lab tech position, provided I get it, you know. And I don't see why not. I don't see why I shouldn't. It's going to be, I guess some of it too is also like the new experience, like going in blind, going in like, how do I want to do this? How am I going to absorb this? Can I absorb this? Am I going to flourish in this? Can I bring something to it? Can I add something to it once I'm there? But it seems to me, and this will be the real, this is what I think what I enjoy, or what I'm going, hope, what I expect to enjoy, what I've simulated in my head, is just the full, like, this particular position is going to be 11 p.m. to 7:30 in the morning. So in lieu of sleeping, I'm going to put a couple $100 in my pocket each night and then go to my regular wake up, do some fitness in the morning, still drive, still pick up donations from the blood centers, contribute in that way with the company that I will be working as a lab tech for. You like how I just assume like ownership already? And but it's like something that I've been kind of gearing up for, just pushing my, what I feel like anyway, eating right, eating the right foods. I mean, literally, like, in the last 2.5 years, just getting out every morning and doing a minimum of like 4 or 5 miles, upwards of 10, between 5 and 10 miles, right? So, and then it just seemed timely that up until a couple, let's see, a week ago, Friday was the last time I did a real big hike. And then I decided I was going to rest. I was, you know, on top of just like my Achilles, which is getting better. It's been a week, week and a half, coming up on 2 weeks of rest. I've been able to recover from that, but I've really kind of honed in on upper body stuff. Not weights so much, but like pull-ups and things like that. And what I've noticed is I'm creating testosterone in my late years here. Like, I'm getting a little, you know, a little randy, you know what I'm saying? And so that's how I know it's working, because it comes to me in waves and blasts, you know, like... so I know it's working. Like, the best way for you to, well, and it creates bone density as well. Okay. So as you get older, you lose bone density. That's why you're so susceptible. People who fall and break their hip have, you know, low bone density. I'm trying to reverse that. So the idea is to create more bone density, create more testosterone, and, eat not religiously, but like, lots of high protein and lots of iron fortified stuff and well, anti-inflammatory stuff. Lots of blueberries, lots of spinach, lots of salmon, lots of proteins, amino acids, all that nonsense. And I think it's all geared kind of surreptitiously, serendipitously. It was kind of happened for a reason, and it's all for this point here, to see if I could do like a, you know, get into a 20-hour a week, 20-hour day mode, 18 to 20, 18 hours, you know, something like that. Elon Musk type numbers, right? David Goggins type discipline, work ethic, shit like that. You know, as I get older, I'm gonna work harder. Isn't that crazy? That's a weird thing to say, but I've noticed this too. So one of the small examples that I use, very small, is this guy Ryan Hall, who is a retired distance runner, who is also a 2-hour and 4-minute. He's a 204 marathoner. Okay, he's technically the fastest American marathoner ever. He doesn't have the official American record, because it's a because he ran it on a loop course, I believe, and there's some restrictions involved with that, but whatever. Like, he's run 204. The dude's a stud. The official American record is like 206 by gosh, I can't even think of his name, but it's, he's a I believe he's an immigrant too, because I think Galen Rupp's done 206, but this guy's done a little, gosh, I'll come up with his name. But Ryan Hall, who ran for Big Bear High School up in Big Bear Lake, who was a stud, he's probably, out of the great high school distance runners, he's not in the top 10, but he's like in top 15, because he was a stud. I think he might have run like 342. 343, 1500 in high school, something like really close. He's an Olympian as well. I think his best finish was like 9th in, if I had to guess, I'd say the 2008 games. 2004, 2008. He might have been a 2-time Olympian. I don't know. But anyway, he's retired. He's not that old either. He's in his late 30s, I believe, but he's switched to upper body, so now all he does is like run these peaks like up along in and throughout like the San Bernardino Mountains, it looks like, out near Big Bear, out near, you know, that whole stretch of the San Gabriels, San Bernardino, Mount Baldy, Big Bear. He's out running around like freaking William Wallace, you know, in Braveheart and shit. But he's yoked out. He's put on some muscle mass. And but there's a freedom in that too, not being so ground down as a runner. Like, as a runner, you're like that's where the burnout comes in. It's like every day is a grind. Every day is a grind, because every day you have to meet a certain amount of intensity, right? So I don't know, and I couldn't even attest to this being the situation, but he's kind of switched gears, and that's kind of what I've done. Is prior to just, I could almost sense kind of a touch of, or being on the brink of burnout with my hiking, you know, because I'm up, you know, now I'm 7-8 miles a day for what am I doing, you know, my. I mean, it's very healthy, but it takes on a religious aspect. You're like, you find, you know, you start trading self-worth or judging your self-worth based on how much you've accomplished during the day, when it's cool. Like, just relax, man. Just, if you're going to go play golf, don't keep score. Just enjoy the game, right? So that's what I've been, so now I'm like, I feel a lot more refreshed. And then with the upper body work, like, I'm firing on a few more cylinders. Like, I think I turned my 4-cylinder body into like a 6-cylinder, right? Like, I went from like my 2.0 Audi four-cylinder turbo to a Subaru 3.6 six-cylinder. And here I am. So I'm going to go in, and I got nothing to lose. Technically, I got nothing to lose. You know, I've been going back and forth with this recruiter, and she's like, well, would you consider a driving position? I said, no, I'm not interested. So, you know, it's this or, you know, I'll do something else. I told her this is the plan. This is my plan. And so that's where we're at. I was working in the lab late one night. He did the monster mash. And I haven't even been, you know, honestly, too, like, I haven't even, the Halloween thing hasn't even kicked in yet. Probably because it's been, like, 112 up until, like, 2 hours ago. But I'm slowly working my way into fall mode. And getting my Halloween on. Me and the lady are going to go to a Scream Fest, Scream Park thing tomorrow night. But I got great news. I've got even better news. There's Tuesday fucking night games. Now I got Tuesday night games. I didn't know. I just happened to be scrolling through ESPN and I was looking up the new rankings, and UCLA jumped to 18th after beating whoever the hell they beat. Was it Utah? Who was it? Son of a bitch. It was, hold on. Oh, Washington State. Yeah, duh. The Cougars. How did I not know that? That's where Henry Rono ran. So, calm down. But so now we got Tuesday night games. I mean, and these are the real dregs. This is the real shit. I shouldn't say that. Let's see, Tuesday night. Now, I'm speaking to you in the future tense, but by the time this comes out, it will have already happened. But Tuesday night, matter of fact, my interview will have already happened as well. So calm down, man. So just hang on. I got some info here. So Tuesday night, we got Louisiana Tech versus Middle Tennessee. Oh, my gosh. That's the name of the college, Middle Tennessee. It's an accredited school, but Louisiana Tech's legit. They're totally legit. That's where Terry Bradshaw went, for God's sakes. So it's all legit. It's too legit to quit, right? So I was thinking Louisiana Tech. Yeah, I think it was. And what's his name? Who's the guy? I can't think of his name. The guy that was on Duck Dynasty. The guy that started Duck Dynasty. Phil Robertson, that's his name. And he was the starting quarterback, and Terry Bradshaw was his backup. And then he went off to go make duck calls and start Duck Dynasty, and then Terry Bradshaw came in. He killed it. Well, kind of. I mean, it's all relative, I guess, right? I was looking up his numbers. In 1968, he went 9-2, passed for 2,890 yards with 22 TDs. The next year in 69, he went 8-2 with 2,314 yards. And those are good numbers, particularly for 10 games or 11 games. You know, that's like 69, that would have been about 230 yards a game. And in 68, it would have been
What is that?
About 270 yards a game, 260 yards a game. I mean, it's not anything compared to like what has been done or what's being done, and even his NFL numbers are fairly pedestrian, but because his career NFL stats were he only passed, well, only like, you try and do it, Johnny, shut the fuck up. Passing yards, total passing yards, he threw for 27,989 yards. His completion percentage was only 51.9. That's barely half. And his passer rating, historically, was 70.9. So, but he's in the Hall of Fame. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's never lost a Super Bowl. He's never stepped foot on a Super Bowl gridiron and lost. So it doesn't come down to numbers. It doesn't. It doesn't really. But I'll tell you what does. Speaking of marathoners, speaking of Ryan Hall and the new world record by Kelvin Kiptum, the Kenyan and countryman of Eliud Kipchoge, who I always call him Kipchoge, but it's Kipchoge, I think. But I was looking at the splits on this guy for the Chicago Marathon that he ran last Sunday. Oh my. So they break it down per 5 kilometers. So he's going 14:26 first 5 kilometers. Second 5 kilometer, 14:16. So in the first 10K, he went 28:52. No, excuse me, 28:42. That's fucking, like, that'll win a lot of NCAA 10,000 meter championships. But that's not, he, basically every sequence of 10 kilometers, he was sub 29. Of course, he had 29 flat is about 4:40 pace. He ran 4:35 per mile for 26.2 miles, right? 4:34, 4:35, something like that. But here's where it gets mind-boggling. The last 10 kilometers, he ran 27:52. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. His 7th 5-kilometer split was 13:51. Who fucking does that? Like, that'll win a lot of 5,000-meter races in college. A lot of them. Most of them. A good portion of them. And that was his 7th consecutive 5-kilometer in the course of that marathon. Like, what the fuck? His last 10,000 meters was under 28. My God, that's just, I get, it's just stupid. It's just fucking stupid. Like, I can't even wrap my brain around that. It hurts my brain. So, but getting back to midweek football. So this is Wednesday night. Like, now it's official. So there's 2 Tuesday night games, the Louisiana Tech versus Middle Tennessee. The other game was like some funky UAB or somebody, University of Alabama, Birmingham. I don't think that's it, but it's, you know, the midweek games are really funky. But Wednesday's got three games, the first of which is UTEP versus Florida International. Yeah, and UTEP, now that's a good school, University of Texas El Paso. That's where Mike Musioki went, who is a great Kenyan runner, phenomenal NCAA distance runner, and it's UTEP. It's El Paso, baby. You know, it's gang warfare. It's cartel. There's probably some cartel members on the team. But they play Florida International. Like, what is that? Florida International? That sounds like an online school, right? That sounds like a Heald Business College type thing, or like a trade school, Florida International. And if you go there, I'm sorry, okay? I'm not cracking on you. Just Florida International. It sounds weird. It sounds like offshore. It sounds like it's just all Zoom. It's all Zoom, right? It's all online. But that's what you get in Tuesdays and Wednesdays games. But now it's official. There's football in some form. I was raving last episode about Thursday night game. And there's always been a Thursday night NFL game. It just, I was like doubly excited that there's Thursday night college football. But now we got a Tuesday. We got two games on Tuesday. Of course, this already happened. I think UTEP's probably going to win. And Louisiana, I'm going to put my money on Louisiana Tech. But you already know they already won. And Wednesday, there's three NCAA games. Like, what, do these guys, they don't even go to school. You know they don't go to school. Why would they go to school? They got a game, right? They're flying. They're on a plane. Like, Florida, like Florida International's got to go to El Paso, Texas. They're on a plane. They have no time for school. Who's got time for that? Ain't nobody got time for that. But I love it. I love it. I fucking love it. So now it's a, yeah, there's Monday Night Football. Then you got College Tuesday, Wednesday. Then a little more College Thursday than Thursday night. Tonight's game is going to be, who is it? I think it's like some lame ass matchup. It's like Denver and I'm totally drawing a blank, but it's, I think I'd like this, who knows, it might end in a where they both lose, right? But the Monday night, I think the Monday night games sounds promising. It's San Diego. I want to say, I keep on calling them the San Diego Chargers. It's the LA Chargers and I don't know. It's the Chargers. Like, I'm excited for the Chargers. I want to see that game. I like the Chargers. They're a really good 11-6, 10-7 team. And Justin Herbert's a really good, really good NFL quarterback. But he's just, he's like Dan Fouts. He's like really, he can get you to the, probably the AFC Championship. But I don't know. It takes a little extra to get you over that hump into the Super Bowl itself, right? So that's what's up. And other than that, you know, we're slowly creeping into fall, Halloween, and then this time is just gonna shoot you through like shit through a goose, right? You're gonna hit warp speed, man. It's gonna be like it's already mid October, right? It's fucking mid October already. So, in a month's time, you're going to be getting ready for Thanksgiving. Like, what the... Oh, my God. And that's nothing but football. I matter of fact, I don't even recognize the holiday tradition of Thanksgiving anymore. It doesn't exist to me. I know it exists, but I really just... to me, it's like a day of football. That's football. Yeah, because, well, as we start to learn more and more about how things really went down back in the day, like, you know, it's no longer Columbus Day. Like, yesterday was, so I'm recording this on Tuesday. So yesterday was Columbus Day, but they changed that because they figured out he was such an asshole that they changed it to Indigenous People Day. So pretty soon they'll just start canceling everything. And that's okay. We don't have time for it anyway. We got to work. I got to be places. It's just a matter of time before the traditions of Christmas will slowly kind of change into like where we just kind of gather wild mushrooms, Amanita muscariate, we trip balls, and we eat venison, and then we then we just kind of wander off into the woods, right? Like, that's pretty much like, I think Yeah, there's it. The mere notion that we celebrate some fat guy in a red suit is crazy. It's crazy, right? I don't know. How does that translate to the birth of Christ, which didn't even happen in December either? Like, we're just, what are we doing here? Like, what's really going on? I don't know. I don't know either. And so I think that's where I'll wrap it up, you know? I think all my personalities concur that I've got a split personality, and so do I. So both of us concur that pretty much most holidays will soon just evolve into just straight psilocybin ingestion and watching and or playing football, which I honestly have no problem with. All right, and I'll leave it at that. So that's it. I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby.